Welcome to the Brew Drink Run podcast, brought to you by the only website that promotes brewing your own beer, consuming the best craft beers in the world, and then running off the calories, brewdrinkrun.com.
Welcome to episode 159 of the Brew, Drink, Run podcast. My name is Lee.
This is Keith.
I'm Raymond.
If this is your first time listening to the show, this is one of our mini episodes. On these mini episodes, we focus on a particular beer, beer style, and a single subject. On our big show, which would have been our last show and our next show, we also talk about home brewing and running, hence the Brew, Drink, Run part of our show. If you do like what you hear, don't forget to rate us on iTunes, Stitcher, or wherever you grab your podcast, or write a short review. Your ratings and reviews help more people to find the show. You can also tell a friend. The best way to do that is on social media, so we know that you're talking about us. If you do that, be sure to tag us at Brew Drink Run. That's Facebook, Twitter, or Instagram. So today's mini show is a little bit different because we're not talking about a single beer style, but a single beer place. Oklahoma.
Of course.
Oklahoma.
Thank you for doing that, Raymond, because I was not going to. Please welcome our guest, Brian Welsbacher of the Oklahoma Craft Beer Podcast at oklahomacraftbeer.com and the beerisokay.com product emporium. What's up, Brian?
Howdy, y'all.
All right, you're picking up our southern inflection. I'm not sure if that's okay or not.
No, none of us actually really say that around here. I was just kind of poking fun at that.
Trying to make us
Oklahoma.
Oh, I get it. I get it. So Brian was kind enough to send over a couple of Oklahoma beers for us to drink today on the show. And so, Keith, why don't you tell us about what Brian sent over? What are the beers?
Yeah, we're doing a little side-by-side here with a couple of beers from American Solera. They're out of Tulsa, Oklahoma. Looks like from the information on the bottle, they are brewed and bottled at the Prairie Artisan Ales Brewing Company there in Tulsa. Looks like they contract that for them, maybe. And we're going to have two beers. We're going to have the Fodor Gold. This is the 2015 vintage of that, which is a sour golden ale aged in oak tanks, obviously, if it's a Fodor. And we're going to also have the Cerise, which is essentially, from what I know of what Brian told us earlier before we got going here, that's basically the gold is the base beer, and then all the fruited sours kind of use that as a base. So we're going to have the one that is aged with cherries. So we're going to have a couple of different sours to try that are from up there in Oklahoma. What else can you tell us about these beers?
Yeah, so it's probably some of the first ones that he came out with when they first released. And like you mentioned, when he first got started, it was still under the Prairie moniker from where we are in Tulsa. Prairie has since moved to Krebs, been bought and sold out, and it's about 2 hours south when it's some geography there. And he's been doing making some more beers here in Tulsa now under the American Solera name. So it's kind of a legality issue there, you know, trying to say, well, it's still a Prairie technically when he made those beers. He just ran out of the Fodor Cerise, made quite a big batch of that. It's probably been my favorite. I actually had the pleasure of bottling this beer. And it's, if you're like cherries, it's almost like a dessert in a bottle.
Cool. All right. So we've got two glasses in front of us. Raymond, help me out here because I wasn't paying attention when you guys were pouring the beer. Start with the base beer. Describe that for us and then move on to the Cerise.
All right. So there's really no confusing these two because the golden is just a bright yellow. Maybe not quite as filtered and as it's a little more cloudier than your standard gold golden, but that's probably not surprising considering it's been aged in oak tanks for a while. Mm-hmm. The Cerise, on the other hand, is, well, it's still got that cloudiness, and you see a little bit of that golden tinge coming through in a couple of the thinner parts of the glass, but it's got that kind of fleshy, kind of dark, murky cherry look. I actually think it kind of looks like a ruby red grapefruit flesh. It's got that kind of color to it.
I can see that. It's actually got kind of a more natural cherry color. I know some cherry beers will have a big, bright color, and there's nothing wrong with that. This one, it really kind of looks like that cherry flesh color, that orangey red color.
Moving on to aroma, start with the golden, with the base beer here.
Yes, it's nice. It's a little on the sweeter side. It's definitely got a nice little grain bill to it. You can get the sourness in it right away. You can tell you're going to be probably dealing with a little bit of mouth pucker more than likely. Whereas the cerise, the cherries really, really come out. It's got a nice kind of sweet cherry kind of aroma to it, along with the little bit of sourness and tartness coming out there.
And there's almost like an herbal, like a clove to the cerise too. Really mild, but it's a really nice smooth element.
Yeah, I would get more like cinnamon, but with all these cherry beers, anything with cherry, I tend to like just sort of think about like that kind of cherry pie kind of thing, and it's not huge in this. Mm-hmm. And I seriously doubt there was anything like that added into it, but it does kind of automatically sort of registers on my, on the nose with that kind of cinnamon, or what you got it as more of clove, but the same thing.
I can even
thing.
Taste the smell, the pastry in it. It's got that breadiness to it.
Now, Brian, before we start digging in and talking about what these taste like, are you drinking anything as we record this podcast in Oklahoma?
I am enjoying an Everything Rhymes with Orange from the lovely gents over at Rough Tail out of Midwest City. This is one of their newest beers that they did a kind of a quarterly test batch of IPAs that they've done over the past couple of years, and this one kind of hit major distro just here in Oklahoma and now Kansas. It's pretty much a sort of a little cloudy, juicy IPA that's kind of swept the nation lately, and it's they just can't keep it in stock right now. Which is good.
Those juicy IPAs, man.
Yeah. people can't get enough of them right now.
Yeah. It's hard to escape that word, too. And it's such a great term for it. I mean, it's really appropriate. So the guys here have been sipping on their golden, and Keith has actually moved on to the cerise as well. Raymond, what are your thoughts on the flavor of the golden?
Well, the tartness is definitely up front.
Mm-hmm.
Good tartness. It's very pleasant. I don't get that. We've often talked about that pucker, that strong kind of reaction. I don't get that in this. It's milder than that, but it's a nice, smooth tartness.
Yeah, I get a little quick blast of kind of, you almost think it's going to be one of those kind of pucker sour bombs when you very first taste it, but it mellows out really nicely. You just kind of have that sweet malty grain, kind of flavor going on. I feel like right on the very end and almost in the aftertaste, there's almost like a lingering little sourness to this, but it's very, very pleasant. Actually, relatively, based on the aroma, it's actually much easier to drink than I thought it was going to be. It's pleasant little sour beer.
And the sourness really builds upon multiple sips. I found it to be much cleaner, and I was really getting that, and I still believe that this is probably a really good beer to use as a base for some of these other experiments, because it is it's very clean, if you want to call this sort of a flavor profile clean. It doesn't feel like it has those kind of additional elements to kind of muddy the waters. I mean it uses as a base, it makes a lot of sense, but with repeated sips the sourness does start to build a little bit on it. It's interesting because the sweetness holds up against it really well, though.
Yeah, a lot of times you don't see that with the sour. It just kind of ends up being all pucker, and no real kind of balance, if you will, which is kind of in a lot of ways what people are looking for if they want a big extreme sour beer. But it's still very it's very good. I like we were saying, like kind of like the simple cleanness to this beer. I think it's actually really, really nice. And how about the cerise? What do we think about the taste of this one?
I'm only one sip in. How much have you had?
I haven't had any yet.
All right, go ahead and do that. I like the cerise a lot, and I don't typically like cherry flavored things.
Right.
I gotta be honest. It's not really something I would gravitate toward. Mm-hmm. And just from seeing this on the shelf, knowing what a cerise is, mm-hmm. and I don't know that I would be super excited about it, but this is really, really good.
No, I like cherry beers. I was a huge fan of that Founders, what was called Cerise as well. It was like basically just a, you know, pie in a glass fruit beer. I really like a lot of the, you know, any of the cherry sours that other breweries are doing. I tend to really enjoy that. And I think this one holds up to any of them. It's got a really nice kind of natural cherry flavor. It's not over the top. Adds an additional sweetness to the beer that you maybe don't get in the base. We were talking about it had a sweetness, but it wasn't like sweet. But I feel like this one is more of like a kind of dessert kind of sipper kind of beer without having to be a big stout or a big heavy beer. I don't feel like drinking this is going to weigh down on me. Nice. I think it's a little bit tartar. I'm going to guess from the cherry addition, a little bit tartar in the taste, which I also really like.
I recently had a Fruly, which is a Belgian brewery's strawberry beer. Uh-huh. And comparatively, I mean, like that was just so much sugar. It was so kind of, I don't want to say gross because right. everybody's yeah. opinions on these things are different. It was so strong. It was right. so desserty. It was yeah. so sweet. And it wasn't cloying, but it was too much.
Just too sweet.
And yeah. this is really nice because you do get that fruit hit, but it's so much more complex than that with the tartness and with that little bit of a sour-ish turn. And yeah. It's much fuller. It's this is such a great way to present a fruit beer that – contradicts that style of let's just mm-hmm. really make it super desserty and make it all sugar. I right. like this a lot. So, Brian, we want to talk a little bit about what is going on in Oklahoma beer right now. So in Georgia, yeah. we have been fighting the legal fight over the last few years and actually making a lot of headway mm-hmm. lately in terms of breweries being able to sell their own product. I think the only thing that's left at the time of recording this is a governor's signature mm-hmm. of that's breweries correct. Being mm-hmm. able to sell a certain amount of product oh, nice. Out of their tap rooms. So what is going on in Oklahoma? Last time we talked, there were some legal challenges facing your breweries too, yeah. right?
Right. Yeah. Yeah, that's good to hear. I haven't heard that happening in Georgia, so that's encouraging. Yeah, we faced just about the same exact thing, you know, since last we talked. Breweries couldn't sell their own products out of the brewery itself and had to distribute everything. Since last August, that's changed. Breweries are now selling pints, bottles, bombers, what have you, cans, selling crowlers, the whole nine. And it's been definitely a major boom for the economy and created more jobs. If, you know, friends of mine are starting to work for breweries, it's a big game changer for the state. You know, along with that, grocery stores and convenience stores are now going to sell actual strong beer. I know it's such an odd term for people to hear outside of the state, but you know, you finally get your 6-point, no more 3-point, as they call it. You know, it's definitely a nice to see and something we've strived for with a lot of graduates, you know, what I want to say, organizations that I've been a part of. It's nice to see some people up in the Senate and the local government that identify with, you know, hey, this is revenue that we need to bring into the state. And, you know, people are going to Texas or Kansas or Missouri or Arkansas, you know, to get all these beers and we need to keep it here. So, it's been a big change. And with this bill that passed, we're even adding on possible Sunday sales, which is huge. And then staying open later than 9 PM. So lifting a lot of those restrictions.
Wow. I mean, it's always like, no matter how bad you think you have it, somebody yeah, else exactly. has it worse. <You
know>. Right. that's what I keep saying.
Well, a lot of people are probably familiar with, I don't know a lot of people, but we've had them on the show before and they do distribute fairly widely, but Prairie Artisan Ales, we mentioned them really briefly. That mm-hmm. may be the brewery that most people kind of associate with Oklahoma. Do you think that's fair, Keith?
Sure. Yeah, I don't know of a lot of other breweries that distribute out. I'm sure there are a handful of other beers that I've tried on occasion or have gotten a chance to sample at a beer festival or something. But yeah, it's not, you know, not necessarily one is, you know, obviously not like when you think about North Carolina or California, Oregon, you know, places where there are tons of breweries and you get a lot of expansion. But apart from Prairie Artisan, I'm not sure a lot of the country knows about a lot of what's going on in Oklahoma in the brewing scene. Has these new laws increased the number of breweries that are popping up out there? Are there more full-scale production facilities in the works, or is it still kind of like a slow growth with that?
Yeah, no, great segue, great question. No, it's absolutely spurred more growth with the ability to do it tap room. You don't have to have distribution. You have a place where people can come. It's more, you know, the neighborhood brew pub or neighborhood bar now. It's there's been a couple of breweries that are trying to come online, and you know, more and more out of the woodworks. So we're right around 20, just under 20, or right at 20 or so, and that's with contract and brew pubs and what have you. But there are more people coming online, just doing the taproom model, just to kind of get a foothold in the market, see if you know what they're going to do is going to work, and not having to go full scale right off the bat.
And I mentioned at the top of the show that your show is OklahomaCraftBeer.com. You can go there to find out more about it. It's the Oklahoma Craft Beer Podcast. Tell our listeners a little bit about that show, what kind of content they could expect to find if they were to subscribe or listen to some of your episodes.
Yeah, thanks. Yeah, I try to, you know, there's so many other things out there. You guys do a great tasting and review, and I really enjoy listening whenever I try to do some exercise, or, you know, I don't run anymore, but I try and focus a little bit more on the people behind the beer. You know, there's always going to be news stories out there of, you know, this brewery is going to be opening soon, and here's what they might serve. But I want to know the origins. I want to take this time to document it, because there really hasn't been a lot in Oklahoma beer wise that's really happened. I think since 2008, when the first big production brewery Marshall came along, no one's really been documenting it and taking the time to get to know the people behind the beer. And I think it's a little bit shows more of our culture. I think, I don't know, I enjoy it. I've met so many great people behind it and made so many new friendships. It's selfishly, if anything, it's for me to just make more friends, I guess. I don't know.
Hey, beer does that. And I also mentioned that you have parlayed some of your design skills and marketing skills over at beerisok.com. And I got to say, I mean, we mentioned this last time we talked, but that is like the best, like, kismet that the Oklahoma abbreviation of OK and being able to turn that into a brand and a slogan and a website. Beer is OK. If anything was ever understated, it's probably that. But you can go to beerisok.com. Brian has a really great design sense, and they have a ton of apparel, hats and shirts and even barware and all kind of accessories that are beer related. A lot of it's Oklahoma, but not all of it. So regardless, I mean, it's really nice, well put together stuff. And I highly encourage people to go check that out for men and women. Some really interesting stuff he's put together there. So tell me a little bit about that, Brian. So how is that coming along? I know you do like festivals or, you know, fairs and that sort of thing and sell in person as well as the website.
Yeah, just did one this past weekend in Oklahoma City. I've got another one on April 15th at the, I believe it's called Wheeler or Ferris. It's a big Ferris wheel that they refurbished in this nice little kind of food truck park. You can go out and hang out. It's called Wonderlust, and they're doing their new show there. So I'll be out at Blue Dome Festival in May. It's a huge celebration of local artists. So it's and with that, it's been fun just kind of getting out, meeting people, and getting reactions to the brand. Like you said, I love to just do some fun, poke fun a little bit at the beer world, because it's easy enough too with the types of people in it. But it's been a fun journey with starting with that opener.
And what beer do you think is going to be, or what brewery do you think is going to be the next breakout from Oklahoma? Again, you know, a lot of people may be familiar with Prairie, and I know you don't want to necessarily play favorites, but if you know about any that may be looking to expand or, you know, distribute outside of the state, or maybe just have a product in the queue that you're super excited about, like, what should people look out for? Or even when they travel to Oklahoma, what do you need to tell people to make sure that they have a chance to try before they leave?
Yeah, it's tough. There's so many more, like you said, we talked about earlier, coming online that I've tried, or others that are kind of coming out of their shell and getting new places built. I got to be honest, still with Roughtail, especially with the IPA game, you know, they're in Kansas now, and I think they're going to try maybe Texas. I'm not sure yet. But just for the quality of beer that I've had, they're ones to definitely seek out, especially in liquor stores. Elk Valley is another one. He makes some amazing barrel-aged beers. Quite recently, did a rum barrel. A Nemesis is his stout base, and then he aged it on some local rum barrels from a local distillery, and it was just phenomenal. So Elk Valley is another one that I could see coming up. Also, there's another one called Twisted Spike, opened the largest tap room in Oklahoma right now, and he makes some good traditional Belgian beers. And they're all just clean and on point. So I encourage people to go find them over in Oklahoma City. It's just going to keep going. They're hard to pin down as the next best thing. But I think for what you guys have there in front of you, American Slayer, you know, they've already won a couple of awards from Rapier just this past January. You know, second best new brewery in the world for 2016 and best new brewery in the U.S. for 2016. So, you know, and that's just kind of growing from the heritage of Brewing for Prairie. So.
Hey, Raymond.
Hey.
Make sure Raymond's still with us. I was trying to stall because I'm trying to find the perfect beer for the next segment of our show. And so I need somebody in my room here to buy me.
Well, I have a question then, because
I was going to ask Raymond what he thought about the artwork.
Oh, good question.
Yeah, good. See, let Brian fill the show because he knows our format better than we do, apparently.
Well, these are nice little slick bottles here. I was a little thrown at first because I thought maybe they were the same beer with different labels. Just because it just says American Solera on the back, all of the beer information is really on the, I'm sorry, on the front. All the beer information is on the back. But very cool labels. Do you know who did these?
It's a local artist. His name is...
They're kind of watercolors. The gold is... Looks like a lady in a do-rag of some sort. And then
lady in a do-rag.
And then
that was the original name of the beer. They changed
lady
it.
In a do-rag.
Lady in a do-rag. Yeah.
All right. So, and then the cerise is a nice little cool landscape looking thing with the cherry kind of rising like the sun in the background.
Yeah, it's been some, that was my favorite artwork so far. Favorite beer and probably favorite artwork. If you go to their just AmericanSolera.com and click on their blog, you can see most of the bottles on there and a brief description. You know, with these beers. I just love their artwork, so I was curious what you thought of it.
Yeah, I like that. I agree with you. I like that one a lot. The kind of cutaway landscape there. It's good looking.
Keith, something's going on with your giant spreadsheet of beers, and I cannot get that sucker to search for me. And I think it may be my internet connection. This is wonderful. But I want to play this game anyway, so I'm almost there.
Okay.
And so I'm going to go ahead and play the music. Brian, you up for a game?
Yep.
I thought he ran out on me. All right, hold on. Here we go.
We're going back in time. Keith's spreadsheet. Let's do this!
All right, our man Keith here has been accumulating beer reviews like it's nobody's business but his own. This is an epic spreadsheet. It's so big, it doesn't want to open on my computer when I also have Skype open. That is really, it's really impressive. To play this game, what I do is I pick a review from Keith's spreadsheet. I read the review, and we will see if our special guest, Brian, can guess what beer it is from the description. Okay, Brian, are you ready?
Ready as I'll ever be.
Okay. All right, this beer is a... is it a double IPA? Let me see. I made it sound like I was so prepared. All right, so I'm actually reading this from the Brew Drink Rum website because I'm having spreadsheet trouble, but here we go. It is a double India Pale Ale. All right. Double India Pale Ale, 8% ABV. All right. This is a dense and hazy beer, no clarity at all, and it has more of a gray pineapple juice color than a bright golden yellow color you might expect for the style. Orange and pineapple juice make up the majority of the aroma. A touch of pine comes in just at the end of the nose. I'm enjoying some really nice tropical fruit notes of pineapple, muted mango, as well as a ton of orange and grapefruit citrus on the taste. A mild hint of pine, a moderate bitterness, and a little bit of earthiness on the finish round out the flavor profile. The aroma and taste completely complement one another with this Imperial IPA. There is no clash between the two here. This is a highly enjoyable Imperial IPA. Seek and enjoy if you are a fan of the style. Brian, do you have a guess?
Oof. Sounds like a lot of Imperial IPAs I've had lately. boy.
Let's start narrowing it down.
Yeah. Can so, I have a region?
Yeah, let's go with Oklahoma.
Okay. Oh, okay. Sounds good. Well, I'm going to try with Hoptometrist from Roughtail.
Oh, that's an interesting. I don't know that beer. Do you know that
I
beer?
I do not know that beer. It is the incorrect answer.
Yeah. But, you might, Keith, think you about know, beers that maybe we could get here in Georgia.
Yeah, Keith, do you know what beer this is?
I do.
Okay, good.
Yes, I'm pretty sure I do.
By the way, I did not say this was a 4 out of 5 A.
Yes, very good beer.
Yeah. Let's see.
So it distributes to where we are in Savannah, Georgia.
Yeah. So with that, I'm going to try Phantasmagoria.
Boom. Yep. We have a winner.
There we go.
All he needed was to narrow it down a little bit more. We got it. Phantasmagoria from Prairie Artisan Ales. This is a beer that showed up here like maybe in November of last year.
Yeah, it was sometimes towards the end of last year, beginning of this year. I can't quite remember, but it was... That sounds about right. Kind of fall into winter. So,
and I actually had held on to, not because I was trying to sell it or anything, but because I enjoyed it so much. And I did just finish the last of the 2 4 packs I bought when it was available.
Holding up well then?
It was. Yeah. It's gone now. But yeah, I think it was about a week or so ago I finished it off. And yeah, absolutely. It's as you described, it's pretty dense. I mean, it's a big beer, a lot going on. The malt bill, of course, held up fine. But, you know, the hops, you know, it didn't barley wine on me in that amount of time or anything.
Well, I mean, in a beer that citrusy, I don't think would. I think it's more the piney, super earthy ones. That one had a lot of that kind of juiciness to it and a lot of tropical fruit. And as long as that holds up, it's going to kind of hold that balance that you need in that beer.
Yeah. Brian, how do you feel about Phantasmagoria? Is that a beer that you've picked up from time to time?
I think I've gotten 1 4 pack just to try it, you know. It was definitely a big boozy Imperial IPA. Definitely only can drink one at a time type beer.
Yeah.
With a lot of their stuff lately, it's like kind of once it's out, and once it's gone, it's gone. And so it's like, you know, not sure if it's going to come back again.
Yeah,
so.
That's interesting. I wondered if that was just us being at the end of a distribution pipeline, but I've seen several things just come and go and not come back in Prairie's line. So
Yeah, it seems to be ever changing for them. I mean, you go to their website and you see beers that you know are listed in their beers that we brew section. And you're like, yeah, I don't think we're ever seeing that again, or I've never saw that one to begin with. But yeah, they make a lot of really good beer, and they seem to be able to do that. And not a lot of breweries can just constantly just sort of rotate what they want to put out. So good for them for being able to kind of do what they want to do, and people are enjoying it.
All right, we want to thank Brian Welsbacher from beerisokay.com and from oklahomacraftbeer.com and the Oklahoma Craft Beer Podcast. Be sure to check out those websites, find out what Brian's doing, get hip to that. And again, really cool merch over at that website and a fun podcast if you're interested in following along with a state who is doing some cool things and getting on board in the beer world. Thank you for listening to the show. If you want to learn more about us and Brew Drink Run, you can go to brewdrinkrun.com. You can follow us on Twitter at Brew Drink Run, on Facebook at facebook.com/brewdrinkrun, or on Instagram at Brew Drink Run. Our writers are also all on Untappd. Brian, you're on Untappd, right?
I am.
What's your username if people want to look you up?
Pretty much everything's under Beers Okay.
All right.
Social media-wise as well.
There you go. If you want to be a part of the show, email us at team@brewdrinkrun.com. Let us know about your home brewing, your running training, or your favorite place to grab a beer. You can also call us at 781-76-DRINKS, 781-763-7465. We've got Brew Drink Run t-shirts and technical running shirts available on our website. Click on the store link. Our theme music is provided by Morning Lights. Thanks for joining us. Thank you for joining us, Brian, and we'll see you guys at the bar. Cheers.
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 Yeah, those are kind of the best clinks we've had in a while.